The biggest sports stories in Wisconsin. Talked about by Wisconsin sports fans. For Wisconsin sports fans.
What are you talking about? What am I
You're
scared?
Playing scared.
Yeah, you're scared. I can see it.
I see the fear in your eyes. Yeah. You know who I didn't see the fear in his eyes?
Who's that?
Jackson Chourio.
Yeah, no doubt.
But now all of a sudden, Jordan Love is consistently in that top five quarterback conversation because he is, dare I say, the word elite.
But why are kids staying out to 1:30 in the morning?
It was homecoming.
What is going on at 1:30 in the morning for children?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
You saw what Jason did there with the 6'7", trying to appeal to the Gen Z people. Always doing that, Jason. I get what you're doing there.
You're so annoying with that.
What?
This is Sunday Karma, powered by ESPN Wisconsin. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Alongside Greg Scalzo, Alex Stroph, and Kyle Wallace, here's Good Karma Brands founder and CEO Craig Karmazin.
And good morning, Wisconsin. I'm not really hearing myself. Good morning, Wisconsin. Oh, we'll count it. All right. Good morning.
Good morning,
good morning,
Wisconsin.
Good morning, Wisconsin.
Hello, hello. Can y'all hear me?
No.
No, none of us can hear each other.
Maybe people can hear us. You don't think?
No, I don't think so.
No.
If both mics aren't working, then it's not one versus the other.
How about that? There we go.
There
good
it
morning,
is.
Wisconsin. How about that? We are in it. And we are ready to go. We're kind of like the Milwaukee Bucks.
I'm interested to hear where you're going with this one.
I mean, I don't know that many people have attended their last three games, but lost by a combined 98 points.
Fun watch.
Yep. All right. So how are we like the Bucks?
We had a pretty shaky performance.
A shaky start, though.
I mean,
went down 9-0 in the first minute, you know?
Yep. And that's what this is.
Right?
We're already on a 6-0 run.
This is part of a process. This is part of a process. Those 98 point loss over three games against, I guess I would call it at least three play-in to play-off level teams with Portland, the Clippers, and then the Spurs, who are legit.
Could be the one seed in the West.
Yeah. It's been rough. And I think the reason I wanted to start with the Bucks today is because yesterday something happened that hadn't happened in 10 years. And the Bucks were eliminated from playoff contention. And a 9 consecutive year run in the postseason, I just think, shouldn't be taken for granted. And the second longest in the entire NBA, and I think we have been living in a golden age of basketball that I hope we've appreciated.
Yeah, you're also asking Bucks fans at the end of a 9-year relationship when they're going through a breakup to have that level of reflection right now. You're still hurt at the end of 9 years, even if they were 9 good years. But whether it happens or not,
I'm not asking anyone to think anyway, because I don't know how I'm thinking. Like, I'm having all the feels,
I know
the
I'm
emotions.
Thinking.
I think that whether it happens or not, it feels like this is the end of something.
Like the fact you're saying it happens. I was just talking about not making the playoffs. Well, I don't know what it that you're talking about.
I'm saying the it of Giannis returning. Like, let's be honest. If we knew Giannis was back next year and they missed the playoffs, then I think there would be a different feeling amongst Bucks fans of, hey, look, maybe we could get somebody in the lottery here that can help build, and you can do this and you can do that, and Ryan Rollins has developed. This feels a little bit like the end of the greatest era,
yep,
you know, of the last 50 years in Bucks basketball.
Yep.
I'm not going to go back and compare it to, you know, the Big O and
the Lou
Cinder,
Alcindor,
you know,
trade.
Yes.
It didn't last that long for them.
Right, exactly.
But
this is the greatest era, I think, because of the length of it, right, to Kyle's point.
And so it's not just that, hey, this is this playoff streak ending, which I agree with you. It shouldn't be overlooked. It shouldn't be overlooked that they won a championship. And on Friday night, we got the benefit of hosting the Analysis Live down at the Riverside here downtown. And one of the things Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager who stepped on stage, said was like, you guys won a championship. And I think somehow it still doesn't get appreciated enough, given that it was only less than 5 years ago. Yeah,
five
less
years
than
ago,
5 years
ago.
Yeah. So,
years.
Like, I just, you know, I do think that you're right that there isn't that level of awe and appreciation for what has been accomplished within this last decade for Bucks basketball. But we're also still, like, right in that middle of the final breakup stage that just doesn't feel very good.
You know who reflection is for? Losers. And I hate losing, Craig. I feel like every week we talk about this. I'm a big believer in the five stages of grief. It sounds like you're in denial.
I think there's
a
more
bit.
Than five stages of grief.
Well,
it's
denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Okay. I'm still in stage two. I'm just angry because this is going to be the harsh new reality for the foreseeable future for the Milwaukee Bucks, which is not making the playoffs, not playing
yeah,
the meaningful games.
I just think that's silliness.
It's not.
They've clearly angered the best player in franchise history to no return. They've allowed their head coach to run amok. It's over, and this is the downfall of the greatest era, and it's disappointing.
It is.
But they never end well. Like you're asking, and it isn't over yet. Like we
San
don't know
Antonio's ended well. It was a great transition.
Yeah, that's true.
It was fantastic. It ended up working out perfectly for them. So
San Antonio's. But were you guys sitting there doing local radio in San Antonio saying we're fine sucking for the next 5 years?
No.
Well, I mean,
that's what San Antonio did.
That's what
did.
Happened.
Are you
yeah,
ready
that's
to
what
do
happened.
That?
I mean, well, they didn't suck for five straight years, didn't they? Weren't they competing? They were competing for like an 10-9.
That's how they got the one seed, the two seed, and the four
that
seed.
What you
and
enjoy,
the,
Kyle?
And the one seed, the two seed, the no, four seed, and
pick.
The nine seed.
Draft pick,
including Jeremy Sohan that they whiffed on completely.
I mean,
like, it was by being really competitive every year that they got all those picks.
I thought, didn't they?
They tanked in the right years.
Yeah, didn't they make some good trades?
But by the way, let's not compare the Spurs and the Bucks because the Bucks don't have all their draft picks, right? So I'm not trying to compare them.
I guess my biggest frustration is I feel like the Bucks don't have much direction because I don't feel like Doc Rivers has been successful whatsoever for the Bucks. Since he took over, he has a losing record for the Bucks. Like, he's not good. Right. And so if Doc Rivers is still steering this ship next year, then this ship is going nowhere fast. I think the Bucks need to look at potentially if they do choose to move on from Giannis, because it has been stated that either he needs to sign an extension or they're going to trade him.
And do you disagree with that?
I disagree with publicly making that statement, but I agree with the inside. I mean, personally, I think that is a smart decision inside. I don't understand why we need to announce that to the world. I don't see what the benefit was of announcing that to the entire world. But at the end of the day, I don't believe that Doc Rivers nor John Horst should be part of the transition to post Giannis. I don't think Horst has earned it. I know he won a championship, but it's not about just winning a championship when you have Giannis. It's about winning multiple. Doc Rivers was a failure, right? He failed with the Milwaukee Bucks, and I don't think you should keep them around. And again, thank you, John Horst, for everything
way,
you've done. But let's move forward with a different group of folks.
But so who is a success in the NBA right now? Obviously, the Thunder, right?
Look what Denver did. Denver fired both of their championship architects within 3 years of winning a title.
Right.
And we're sitting here and we're debating what we're going
to
do.
Right, I'm saying because they weren't aligned with each other and they had to fire both because they were so petty toward each other. It had nothing to do with their skill level.
Well, I hope John Horst ain't aligned with Doc Rivers. I hope he's sitting there in the back saying, I would hope so too.
You could look at Boston, obviously. It's been one of the you know, premier organizations. You could
Absolutely.
Look at Oklahoma City, but Oklahoma City had to basically go in the tank for eight or nine years.
One of the smartest general managers in professional sports.
Yes, but again, like that, if the Bucks tried to go down that path, people are going to be upset.
But also remember, the Bucks don't have we don't have our picks, so we can't.
But
even
you have
to
Giannis.
If you trade Giannis in order to get picks, right? Then you continue
to,
or you get your picks back potentially.
I guess my thing on John Horst that I think to me, like so, what season did he not do the thing you wanted him to do, right?
No.
Like,
I'm
like
with you on this.
That's what I'm saying. Like the Dame Lillard trade, the Jrue Holiday trade. Yeah, we gave up our assets, but when you had Giannis and you knew that Giannis was only going to re-sign if They did that stuff. Yeah. How do you blame Jalen Hurts?
You have to remember that Kyle likes to just not go for it. He like the Packers fans, they just like to just win.
And by the way, I'm saying Jordan, and I'm saying, like, I get it. Like, Jordan Warrow didn't work out, right? Like, there's picks that didn't work out, but
sure.
But if you're not
he's never had a lottery pick.
Right. If you're not drafting in the top 15.
That's a terrible excuse. Is never having a lottery pick. You don't.
How is that a terrible excuse?
So you can't find one person outside the lottery.
You can.
So it's not an excuse.
But I'm saying the Bucks have not drafted well. Like, I think objectively, we haven't drafted particularly well.
Even your
well.
Second round picks haven't worked out.
But second round picks don't work out.
But if
outside of the top 15, like, one out of three players is a rotation player, not even a starter once you're out of the top. Like, so.
But do we have that, though? Have we drafted even a rotation player?
I mean, again,
who's contributing to the Bucks? So that's
not necessarily drafted.
Sam Merrill.
You could look at Ryan Merrill
for another team.
And be a champion, yeah.
But I'm saying Sam Merrill, again, we traded him to get Grayson Allen. Like, we loved Sam Merrill. We actually believed in Sam Merrill, but we traded him to get Grayson Allen because we wanted to be better, and I think Grayson Allen, that was a good move.
Again, the reason I look at it is I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is a bad general manager, and I think he took the swings, but it didn't work out. And you shouldn't get credit for taking swings and it not working out.
So you're saying because Dame Lillard got hurt, he should lose his job.
I mean, no, injuries played a role. Giannis' injury played a role. Like, I get all that, but I just don't have the confidence that Jalen Hurts can develop this team moving forward.
He
won a championship. I get that, but again,
I'm fine with Doc Rivers' disrespect. Jalen Hurts' disrespect makes no sense.
Do we understand the importance
and again,
of what?
I'm not fine with Doc Rivers' disrespect either. You could say you don't like the job he's done as the coach, but you don't disrespect the guy who, you know, is a Hall of Famer.
Well,
who
I'm not
appreciates
saying he's a bad person. I just
you're fine with disrespecting.
I didn't disrespect
him.
Anybody.
He's been an unbelievable coach throughout his career.
And,
for sure.
And what he's
not
meant to this community and what he's meant to Marquette and all
totally.
Of this. So I'm saying.
And Giannis played 38 games this year. Like,
I'm simply addressing performance. And when I look at this, I do not trust Jalen Hurts moving forward. If we do move on from Giannis, which right now, if I had to bet on it, I would bet a divorce would be coming.
Yep.
I don't trust Jalen Hurts to be the talent evaluator who's going to have a whole bunch of picks to make the right draft picks. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, fine.
That is why
what's the Bucks net rating when Giannis and KPJ start?
I would imagine high.
It is third in the NBA.
Yeah.
Okay, just before we go too far, obviously, what's the Celtics net rating when Jason Tatum doesn't play? It's pretty damn good, right? So I'm not saying
Brown.
Didn't
Doc do some of his best work when Giannis wasn't on the floor though? Yeah. Isn't that when they went on that winning streak?
Yeah, the Bucks this year were built around one star,
of course,
and the entire thing was in the offseason, let's get shooters and let's get people who can compliment Giannis, and then Giannis didn't play most of the year.
And I would give Doc credit because I saw his post-game comment yesterday about what went wrong this season after they were officially eliminated, and it was on what you just said, Craig, was we were built around one star, we didn't have the one star.
Yeah.
When they had the one star, they didn't look good.
No, they
again, when they had he and KPJ, they had the third best net rating in the NBA, but which was still only 19 games, right? It was only 19 games this whole year.
Okay, all I'm saying is when Giannis was playing and healthy, and if KPJ wasn't there, I know he was injured earlier during this, right? I think game one he got hurt.
Yes,
but
exactly.
The thing is that even with Giannis on the court, this team never looked like they had a
coming
chemistry.
Out of the All-Star break, I think we all had that extra excitement, like, we won without Giannis. Giannis is coming back. Now's the time. And you're right, Kyle. We came back and didn't look good.
Yeah, and so again, this team, losing causes for dysfunction, and I just feel like this team, the energy that I was so used to and grew accustomed to with the culture of this team, it seems like it's completely gone, but that could be because of the fact that they're losing.
I think it's losing, but I think it's also that, like, the questions around Giannis, right? Like, there have been four or five games where I've been in the Fiserv Forum that felt like nothing I've felt in Fiserv Forum that felt like things I felt at the Bradley Center. Like this year, and I had not felt that in a single game at Fiserv Forum. And so I think it's okay to feel that way. And it was probably the worst right around the trade deadline. And now I think these next few games will be really interesting. Today, I think, is a really special opportunity, right? Brook Lopez is back today. And, you know, I know people aren't ready to reflect and all that, but Brook Lopez should get an amazing
100%. We love Brooke.
And what Brooke was part of and what Brooke, you know, was integral in making happen for the state of Wisconsin, I hope we all honor today. All right, we'll have more on it as we continue. I think there's a lot more to dig into here because I think as you look at what comes next, I think we don't know because this is so different than anything we have seen. And by the way, the Milwaukee Brewers are off to a 2-0 start, and things are great there. We said the Bucks did not carry us into Brewers season, but got pretty close this year. So we will absolutely talk about that. Jason Wilde joins us as well. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. More Sunday Karma coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Continuing on Sunday Karma, where I believe Tony Cartagena said at the analysis, the Brewers are on pace to go 162-0 this year. And he was right. I mean, he predicted that through only one game, but that has held through two games.
Well done, Tony. Well done.
Leading the MLB in run differential.
Yes, ahead of the Yankees, who've played three games.
Yep.
And gratefully, their first three games for the Brewers have not been against the Yankees this year, because we know how that went last year.
We ain't scared. We ain't running. We would have been ready this year.
Yep.
Well, so actually, I'm glad you bring that up, Craig. So they started 0-4 last year. They're starting 2-0 this year. Does that mean they're not going to win anywhere near 90? What did they win, 96, 97 games?
It means that there's not as much value to bet on them, because last year it was a great time to bet on them after they got crushed by the Yankees. Whereas now, I don't think anyone's going to overreact to two wins against the White Sox.
No, but it's been fun. It's so nice to have the Brewers
overreacting.
Back.
They just look good. Honestly, going into the season, I was like, there's no way the Brewers can win four NL Central Division titles in a row. Like, I mean, Craig, you were here when the Brewers were awful.
Sound like a national pundit over there.
No. It's just like, I couldn't imagine the Brewers winning four in a row. That's insane.
I'm with Kyle. Like, I think the Brewers can win the division. I would bet on it.
Yeah.
But I also, like, they could have a great year and win, like, 88 games and not win the division.
Yeah,
like,
there could be two teams. Them and the Cubs could both win 90 games.
Yeah, you're right, Kyle. I mean, so I don't think you could even, like, look back and be like, oh, this season's only a success. If you make the playoffs in baseball, you had a good year. Maybe the Dodgers, that's not true of, but pretty much anyone else in baseball. Is there anyone else who you'd say if they make the playoffs, it's a bad year? I don't know, right? Is there anyone?
I guess I don't.
The NL East with the Yankees? Like, if they make the playoffs.
Both the New York teams, because of the level of investment for the Mets.
No, look at that.
In the division with the Phillies and the Braves?
Just given the level of investment into the roster, do you think Mets fans are over the moon to just make the postseason?
Well, yes. I'm saying after last year, yes, they want to be in it. I'm not saying that if you lose in the first round, you're happy. Because I'm not saying that about any team.
Got it.
I'm saying, like, if you're guaranteed right now, if you hand a fan base and say, hey, you're guaranteed a wild card, who's not taking that right now?
I think everybody is.
I think the only one is the Dodgers.
But even the Dodgers, I think Dodgers fans would be like, we're so confident once we get in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, we're just that good. But yeah, I agree. I think the thing about this Brewers team, though, is despite the history of it, you guys knew they were going to be good. Like, even more so this year than last year, because you've got more belief in a Bryce Turang. You've got more belief in a Sal Frelick. You've got more belief in what this lineup is. You see what Jacob Mizorowski was able to do last year. You hope that he can do it this year. And even with the loss of Freddie Peralta, if you have a healthy Brandon Woodruff, and you've seen, you know, what Quinn Priester is, like, there's more pieces actually this year returning than there was last year returning, where you could say, okay, this team is set up to be good.
I think they're going to lead MLB in wins. No, but I agree with that wording, set up to be good. You said earlier you know they're going to be good. I just don't think in baseball.
Really?
I don't think you could know they're going
to
be good.
I would be shocked if this team wasn't over 500, though.
No,
I believe they're going to be good. In baseball, I don't know if you could know they're going to be good. Like, baseball's just different in that way.
I feel like most of the times when teams are trending, because one thing we
like
have
the
to
Braves. Look at the Braves.
Didn't the Braves get derailed? Because I know Acuna got hurt.
Yeah.
They had injuries. And so that obviously can derail.
That's what I'm saying. You just don't know baseball.
But this Brewers team is actually built in a way where they could lose Yelich for a while be fine.
Jackson Chourio.
Garrett Mitchell just stepped right in and look how well he's playing.
And last year, during the best winning streak of the season, you know, Jackson Chourio wasn't even playing.
Yes. They're a deep team. They're well coached. Like, it's a strong organization. Like, they've got the third best farm system in Major League Baseball with guys that
farm
halfway through the year
disgusting.
That you could ultimately expect to make an impact. they're going to be good. It's just a matter of how good can they be and how good will they be.
I think what people don't realize, though, is that the Brewers, Craig, they're trending in the right direction. Greg, you really hit it, is that the roster is basically the same from last year, and there's a lot of young guys that are only getting better who are taking that next step or we can talk about arriving. And so that's the confidence that I have in the Brewers, is that I believe by 2028 we will be in a World Series. Like, I legitimately believe, based off the minor league team that we have and based off the controllable players that we have, this team can be in a World Series 2 years from now.
I hope you're right. Today is going to be fun. Gary Sanchez is your first baseman. Jefferson Caro is your catcher.
Debut?
Brandon Sproat also makes his Brewers debut today. He's on the mound.
What is today's lineup?
So first base with Andrew Vaughn's injury, the hamate bone, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. You get Gary Sanchez,
so we got Bryce leading off.
Yep.
Contreras DHing, batting second.
Renhifo will start at third today as well.
Batting third.
Gary Sanchez playing first base in the cleanup spot. And then it's Freelick at right, Ortiz at short, and then batting seventh.
When Ortiz is batting sixth, that's an interesting lineup, right?
Correct. Yeah, 9-7-6. Yeah. He continues to move up the lineup over the course of these 3 years.
Four for seven on the year.
He's a good start.
Great spring training, played well in the World Baseball Classic.
Two steals?
Yeah, I mean, a lot.
Nine batter in the first game, seven batter yesterday, moves up to six today. Then Jefferson Carroll will make his major league debut behind the plate.
Look at you, Jefferson. What are you? You can speak Spanish?
Not much, a little bit, but that's his name, Jefferson Carroll.
I know, spelled Jefferson in America.
He's proud, but
in America,
you're saying
America,
but you're proud of him, right? You're not mad that he's not speaking like American.
No, no bad bunny like hate American. Over here.
Okay, good.
No bad bunny hate. Brandon Lockridge in left, and then Blake Perkins in center. But I feel like last year, when they had these weird lineups, like the obscure, oh, why is this guy playing here? Why is this guy starting today? Those were always their best games last year. Because Pat Murphy is just the best elevator in professional sports. When you get these messed up, kind of strange lineups, I feel like they scored 16 runs every time last year. So today might be one of those days.
And the fun thing in this series has been you get to see Munetaka Mariami hit a home run every game, and it doesn't hurt the
Brewers.
Yeah,
he's on pace for 162 home runs.
Yeah. And that guy, I mean, the bombs. Did you see the home run he hit yesterday to center?
Both of them. Yeah. Even that opening day one was just a bomb.
Yeah. So really, really fun one going on today at American Family Field. That's a 1:10 start. You could hear that. Can you hear that on ESPN Madison?
Sure,
could you hear the Bucks game on ESPN Madison?
Ooh.
I believe you'll hear that on 100.5 ESPN.
I believe
Madison.
The Brewers.
Which one? Brewers?
Yeah.
Brewers are going to get talked. I mean, this is a big game for the Bucks against Cooper Flagg here. I'd have to say, if I'm that content director in Madison, if I'm Ashton Rotman, like, you know, I always think, what would Ashton do when I'm thinking about most things in life?
Yeah.
I think I'm going Brewers. I hate to say it.
I think that was, yes. I believe that's the decision.
But
there will be Brewers on ESPN Madison coverage beginning at 12:35.
Good decision.
Great job, Ashton.
Good decision, Ashton. All right, you got Brewers baseball in Madison. Right here in Milwaukee on 620 WTMJ, you'll hear the Milwaukee Brewers. Right here on 94.5 ESPN, you'll hear your Milwaukee Bucks.
And in Beaver Dam?
Beaver Dam on 95.3, you'll hear the Brewers. And on 1430, you'll hear the Bucks. I don't know. Kyle?
Yeah, I don't. I got to check on. I got to get that schedule.
Wade Bates?
Yeah, I don't get that schedule.
Do you also ask yourself that? What would Wade Bates do?
Daily. I also ask, what would Jason Wilde do? And what he'll do is join us next. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Coming up on ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
It is time to talk to one of those big Brewers fans. I feel like a big Ray Allen fan. It's Jason Wilde who joins us now on Sunday Karma, and he joins us on the Yuengling guest hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. DJ Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. Love our Yuengling guest hotline. Good morning, Jason.
Six generations, family owned and operated. It's amazing.
Indeed.
Good morning.
Indeed. Jason, when are you getting the family out to American Family Field? Last week you were driving down to Milwaukee. When's going to be the first big Brewers game for the Wilde family this year?
Great question, because both the girls have expressed an interest. We have a game on for the opener. It was on local TV here as well. And Sydney pointed out that she's never been to a Brewers game. And Maddie pointed out that she's only been to a Brewers game when she was a tiny little person. So, yeah, we're definitely going to make it this season. They have both made that request.
All right, let's judge Jason's parenting. 800-990-3776. The fact that Jason's two kids have combined for one career Brewers game, what do you think? Let's go out to Kyle in Milwaukee. You're on Sunday Karma. Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, I can't believe that Jason, he is from the Milwaukee area, and he hasn't brought his kids to see the Brewers. He grew up seeing the great Brewers, the World Series team that lost. How could he not allow for his girls to experience what he experienced, especially with the fighting Pat Murphy's?
That's more games than Kyle's, isn't it?
What accent? What accent? Is that Kyle's Milwaukee accent?
I don't know. South side.
Dallas.
Let's go to
dirty.
Let's go to Greg and Cudahy. Your thoughts on the Wilde family's parenting?
Yeah, I just don't understand why Jason wouldn't go ahead and take his kids down here to Milwaukee. There, I know the parking can be difficult, the traffic's difficult, but Jason, at least once a year, you've got to get down to American Family Field. Look at this team; they're great. Your kids will enjoy it. Buy them some ice cream.
Okay, let's go over to Alex. This guy that might be defending him because it looks like he's from Green Bay or somewhere up in that area. Let's go to Alex. You're on Sunday Karma. Wilde, is it okay that the kids, two kids combined, one career Brewers game?
Oh, you know, Jason, I just have to have your back here, bud. I understand you got a really busy schedule. You got dance and gymnastics and all the in-betweens, basketball, volleyball. It's really busy, but hey, if you make it down to American Family Field, I'll be happy to buy them a brat.
There you go. Jason, the people have spoken.
Yeah, and fairly so. Now, I would hasten to add that, in fairness, if not to my parenting, to their schedules, they are much more likely to compete in sports than watch them, and that goes across the board. Although I have managed to secure tickets for them to see the Wisconsin women's volleyball team when it comes up here to play UW Green Bay next month in a spring game, so we're excited about that, but... I will do my best to rectify this incredible parenting oversight this season. And, you know, if you know anybody that's got connections for tickets, I'm all ears.
Is he not on those Sean emails that go out to the entire team? Does that just go to the Avenue office?
Greg, quick question before we move on. Yeah. Who attends a game first this season? Is it the Wilde children or Kyle Wallace?
Oh, that's a good question.
It depends. It's all about
the weather. See, the thing is with Kyle, once it's boating season, like Kyle brings out the yacht the second it hits 60 degrees.
He's got his boat shoes in the office. Yeah. He's got the preppy, you know, yacht clothes coming in, the whole thing.
Yeah, my first game's in May.
Okay.
May 9th, I think. May 9th. So, Wilde, if you make it out before May 9th, you'll beat me. But why, my first game's in May.
Why are you just establishing that you won't go to a game until
people
May?
People don't plan when they go to Brewers games. You plan, don't you?
I mean, you live here. You don't have kids. Like, you can just go whenever you want. You and baby girl.
I have the Brewers.tv app.
What are you doing today?
Today?
You want to go?
You have no reason you can't spontaneously go to a Brewers game before.
We constantly get emails saying we have tickets available for this game,
Kyle, I'll go with you today if you want to go.
Look at y'all. Y'all know my schedule, huh?
I'm not saying.
My personal assistant
What do you got today?
We don't need to put that on.
Come on now. All right, let's go. Let's go over to Jason Wilde. Jason, do we care anything? What's going on with the Green Bay Packers? Anything we need to know this week, or can we move on to other bigger and brighter things?
Nothing that you need to know right now, but the NFL meetings do start today at the Arizona Biltmore. So we will hear from Brian Gutekunst. We will hear from Matt LaFleur at some point. Someday I'd like to go back to going to that. We used to go to it a lot. I remember Evan Cohen and Nolan was like my unofficial producer. I was doing the show from like the hallway and coaches would walk by. I once saw one of the NFL head coaches in the bathroom. He didn't wash his hands. That made for some great material. But no, nothing as of today that merits. And by the way, how great was it that this turned into, why isn't Kyle going to more Brewers games? Kyle, thank you for your service. You took me off the hook. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason, it's not Packer specific, but I am curious with former Packer J.C. Tretter stepping into that executive director role of the NFL Players Association and all of the sort of controversy that has surrounded it, especially now with owners meetings going on where there feels it feels like the owners are really going to be pushing heavily now that Tretter's in there for that 18-game schedule and that the path has been cleared for that to happen. Have you had a chance to talk to any current players, former players, about everything that's been swirling around the NFL Players Association? Because it feels like a story that's a little quiet given the consequences that are ultimately going to be driven from that.
Yeah, totally agree with you, Greg. So I have not. I did not discuss with Jordan Love when we had about 10 minutes with him at his cleat giveaway that he does for sports teams in need that he does every year. But we did. We have a great, great lineup of cousin subs when Tausch is out. We had John Anderson. We had Brian Bulaga. And then on Friday, we had the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas. And he and I did discuss this at length because one of the things that, and again, and I said this to Chewy as well when I was on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, I am not suggesting that we need to start a GoFundMe page for retired NFL players. And I understand there are a lot of people that work really hard, that listen to our programs, that don't get paid nearly as much as NFL players do during their careers, which are obviously shorter than the rest of our careers and what our chosen fields are. But the idea that a business that is aiming to be a $25 billion business and now wants to add an 18th game to the regular season cannot afford to give vested veteran players lifetime health care is preposterous. And that my frustration with the J.C. Tretters of the world, and I think you guys know this going way back to when it was the offseason after the Super Bowl, and Nick Collins held out from the offseason program wanting a contract extension. And he got it. And then what happened in the 2011 season? He fractured his neck in Carolina and never played football again. And that contract was a game changer for him. It changed the way he was able to live the remainder of his life, as opposed to if he'd have played on his rookie deal still, or his whatever the deal was. And so I am always pro player, because in the competition between billionaires and millionaires, I'm going to take the millionaires that put themselves on the line in these games.
Especially without guaranteed contracts, most of them.
Right. And so, again, I don't know. I was listening to the podcast that Pablo Torre did, and I was not aware. I mean, I covered J.C. Tretter when he was here in Green Bay. And the controversy that swirls around him is pretty concerning.
What is the controversy?
Just kind of the backstabbing and all the stuff that went on as he tried to position himself for the job that he ended up getting, and whether or not he truly puts the players first.
They'd previously basically changed the bylaws of the Players Association to allow for the finalists to be secret finalists until the day of voting. And so there's this thought that J.C. Tretter, who pushed this through in the NFLPA, had the last executive director sort of handpicked, and then he was promoted, and then they created a position for J.C. Tretter to be the chief strategy officer, I think was his title. And then all of a sudden you find out there's all this controversy where the past executive director had been using NFLPA funds to go to strip clubs. And he had also been colluding with the NFL and was aware of collusion within the NFL, where they were trying to basically ensure that there would not be fully guaranteed contracts. And he never brought that to the players in the association. So he gets pushed out through all this controversy. And now all of a sudden, J.C. Tretter leaves the NFLPA, says he never has any interest in being the executive director. And then next thing you know, this process, he enters late, and then all of a sudden is anointed in a way that makes it feel like his handpicked guy helped push him through, and now it feels like you're continuing the same regime that had just been mired in controversy.
So I'm all for player safety, and I think guaranteed health insurance for life, like Jason said, is something the NBA players voted on, and I think is something that the NFL should do. But the 18th game for the NFL, to me, is not as much of a player safety issue if it comes with it a second bye, right? Like, so if you're gonna have two byes in the season, and you know what's tougher, playing 17 games in 18 weeks or 18 games in 20 weeks? I'm not a doctor, but I could, if someone presented me the argument that that's safer for players, I wouldn't disagree with it. It would sound like it could make sense to have two byes in the season.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I'm not sure that that's what they're going to do or not, Craig. I would be a proponent of that, first of all. Second of all, you know, this is, in my mind, it's not so much a, I mean, it's obviously one more game to get injured, right? And it makes the season that much longer. So that is part of it. The second bye would reduce that slightly in my mind.
Especially, Jason, with the international travel and all that.
That's so exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
Yep. So when Mark Murphy bid us a fond farewell after his last shareholders meeting, and you know he could not, he either was putting stuff out there at the commissioner's behest or he just couldn't help himself and he's a bad secret keeper like I am. But he stood up there and said, look, the plan is for every team to play an international game every year. So factor that into the 18-game schedule that there's going to be 16 international games if they hit their target. So that's part of it. Again, I like the idea of two byes. I think that would make a lot of sense. I don't know if that's what they're interested in. My point, though, is not so much on a player safety point as it is on a, look, you finally have something that the owners mm-hmm. are desperately wanting, right? Just like it was for the 17th game. Don't squander your negotiating power on stupid things. I'll never forget this. In 2011, you know, remember the Packers win the Super Bowl in February, then the lockout happens, and they start training camp late, right? And so they get that CBA done for that season. The following offseason, they get Jeff Saturday to play center for them and play it poorly, I might add. And he's in the off-season program. He's obviously a big wig with the union. And they're doing an 11-on-11 period during OTAs. And it is like every other OTA 11-on-11. Certainly not full speed. They're not in pads. But, you know, the offensive linemen are blocking the defensive linemen. I mean, certainly it is, you know, NFL veteran players know how to practice without hurting each other. So there's nothing that looks different to me standing on the sideline. And it's myself and a couple of other beat writers. And Jeff Saturday, while the drill is going on, he's not in. It's the second team that's in. He turns to us and says, does that look like non-contact to you guys? I think you should probably write about that. Like during the practice. Because wow. What was their goal in that negotiation? Less off-season program, right? Shorten it. Less contact during the off season, less padded practices during the regular season. And that's great, right? If you want to take care of your bodies and wear and tear and whatever else. Like Mike McCarthy will tell you, I just saw him at the Harlan Celebration of Life last week. You know, he used to have his quarterback school, and him and Clements ran that, and it really did matter for developing quarterbacks. They can't do that anymore. They have to do a truncated version because the off season is shorter. And what I would argue is use the 18th game desire by the owners to get something real. That's where the full lifetime insurance comes in. That's where some of the other things that I would push for if I was J.C. Treader should come in. But to Greg's point, and Greg, you did an amazing job of explaining that story. I didn't know how to, you know, me, I ramble. There's no way I could have been that concise. I just think that what the players have done time and time and time again at the negotiating table is get small, inconsequential to the owners' victories, right? Like when the owners got the 17th game and they further curtailed the off-season workload, you don't think the owners like, sure, sounds good to me. Yep, that'd be great. No problem. Happy to do it. And I'm sure they pretended, oh, I don't know, kind of like Goody pretending that he didn't want to get Kenny Clark's contract off his books in the Micah Parsons trade. Boy, I don't know, Jerry. Kenny's really important to what we do. And Kenny was really important to what we do. Don't get me wrong. But I think this is an opportunity for the players to exact meaningful things for their rank and file members. And I don't have a whole lot of faith that the people that run the NFLPA can do that.
We will have more with Jason Wilde as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. You're listening to Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Continuing with Jason Wilde. Jason, you mentioned those meetings coming up this week. What is, you know, what's the big question? What do you think the big Packer story, you know, to come from those meetings will be?
Well, so I did talk with somebody that works in the building, and we're looking forward to speaking with Jonathan Gannon upon the return of Matt LaFleur and Goody and Ed Policy from the NFL meetings. I mean, it is Ed Policy's first NFL meeting.
Wait. I forgot something really important.
Is he on Wilde and Tausch this week?
No. Did you invite him to Wilde and Tausch this week?
I did, sort of. I inquired about his availability to appear on our program via the public relations department, and I was told that as I tried to explain to you, and you, in a rare instance of you not listening to me, continued down that road, they would like to make him available to everyone before they consider individual interviews. And so, again, we will get it. It will be April by the time the defensive coordinator who was hired on January 28th speaks to the media.
Okay, but at least we now have it clear that Jonathan Gannon has not been shunned by Wilde and Tausch. So it is official.
Not.
You have invited him to the show.
Well done, Jason. Way to reach out with that olive branch.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's not about necessarily the connection, Jason. It's about making sure that you're not like wielding your power in ways that you don't even realize you are at times.
Great job, Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I definitely don't realize my power. In terms of your question, I think the number one question, if I was going to the NFC coaches breakfast to talk to LaFleur, would be, all right, give us a better understanding of what you're thinking defensively and how things are going to be different with Jonathan Gannon. That would be at the top of my list. Now, this is one of my favorite things that I covered back in the day, and someday I'd like to get back because the breakfast is a really good setting, although they've shortened the amount of time the coaches make themselves available during them, to get to a lot of topics. And again, Matt LaFleur hasn't spoken to us since the day after the season ended in his wrap-up press conference. So, you know, I want to know, do they feel good about, at quarterback, Desmond Ridder and Kyle McCord as the backup? Or, you know, there's people throwing out Anthony Richardson. There's people throwing out Kirk Cousins. I don't see that as their MO. I would be surprised if either of those happened because unless Anthony Richardson got released, I don't see them giving up a draft pick again for someone. But that's one spot. The offensive line, I want to get Matt LaFleur's thoughts on his confidence level in Jordan Morgan because he holds the key to that whole offensive line. And obviously the market told us that the NFL didn't think very highly of Rashid Walker, and neither did the Packers. He basically got swing tackle money. So they are putting their eggs in that left tackle basket with Jordan Morgan. I also am curious, what are their expectations for Josh Jacobs, who I think we talked about this weeks ago. You know, I didn't think it was a 100% slam dunk that they would keep him at his cap number. And now they let Emmanuel Wilson leave. So they probably need another running back option, especially if they're concerned about Josh Jacobs dealing with injuries the way he did last year.
This is not seen to be the running back draft that last year was, right? Like last year, there were like 12 running backs that contributed from the rookie class, and this year it's not seen the same way.
Right, and I would just close with this. I would say that, look, do I still think that they have sufficient talent to be considered a Super Bowl contender? I do. They're going to get Micah Parsons back. They're going to get Tucker Kraft back. I think the expectation is that if Christian Watson stays healthy, he is going to be their true number one receiver. and that's a lot of really good stuff. But I also look at their roster and see a lot of places where these young players that Goody constantly wants to have to elevate, and then two guys that are out of his comfortability zone of Zaire Franklin, who's going to be 30, and Javon Hargrave, who is 33, are going to have to play at a higher level than Goody believes most 30-year-olds are capable of. Because, again, what he said at the scouting combine, and I know Strofe and I talked about this on Weekly Wildy or whatever it is now, Monthly Wildy.
Occasional Wildy, yes.
Occasional Wildy, that's what we decided on. He said out loud that he wants guys who are age 26 to 29. That's the best. Those are the years you're most productive, and those are the years you're most healthy. And that was what he said at the combine. And so for him to go outside of that with two guys that play positions of need, I think is fascinating. And I'm very curious to see how those two perform.
Matt LaFleur will speak tomorrow, 9:45 a.m. local time, as Jason Wildy joins us on the Yuengling guest hotline. Jason, something I am fascinated by every year at the NFL owner or the annual meeting is the picture of all 32 coaches. Do you think we will get a Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur close to each other? Will they be very far from each other? What is your expectation on those two in that annual photo?
Yeah, I don't think they'll be sitting together.
But don't the divisional coaches typically go near each other? Don't they gravitate toward each other typically?
No, I think, at least in my recollection, they tend to gravitate toward guys they like. Like, I feel like...
Sure. So Shanahan, McVay.
You know, McVay and LaFleur usually sit by each other. I'm going to guess that if Matt LaFleur is sitting next to anyone, if he's in a middle seat, if you will, of the picture, I'm going to guess that Mike LaFleur is on one side and Sean McVay is on the other, and Ben Johnson is much farther away.
I feel like this is going to be like a college roommate or like situation where you get like the coaches all submit two people they would want to sit next to and two people they would not want to sit next to. And then they
It's organized? I think it's just like, all right, everybody get in here. And
no, but I'm saying the tables first, because they sit at tables, right? And so
you sit at your own table with the media, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
what table's next to what table?
Yeah, what table's right next to what table, right?
I can't wait till next Sunday when we break this down.
Yeah.
We're going to break this down next week.
Yeah. So I do just want to your point, Alex, I talked to somebody who covers the entire league more so than just my focus on the Packers, and talks to a lot of people throughout the league.
Uncle Charles?
And he said that there's like legit, like, I don't want to say bad blood. He didn't use that phrase, but that Shanahan and McVay, none of them understand why Ben Johnson took the approach that he did with LaFleur. Like, that they don't know each other. And, you know, I don't know if Ben Johnson feels like, you know, these guys think they're better than me and like he dislikes all of them. But like after the Rams beat the Bears in the playoffs, right? The Rams beat them. They shook hands afterward. It was a total normal interaction of, you know, not warm by any means, but between McVay and Johnson, it was a totally normal exchange. And so, again, maybe it's just his way of endearing himself to Bears fans. But you know, there is a clear animus on Ben Johnson's side. And then from LaFleur's perspective, I think there is now, but I think before there was just sort of this befuddlement of what is with this guy? Like, I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other against him. And it just sort of feels like now, I don't want to say it's performative, but it sure feels like Ben Johnson is steering into it in a big way. So to your point, I want, you know, how far is he willing to go? Like, is he going to intentionally, like, scooch in between, like, LaFleur and his brother to try and take that seat? Like, what is he – how far is he willing to take this, what I would call nonsense?
Speaking of what's with that guy, if you're not a Caleb Williams fan, which I happen to be, you could You could, you could have a little. What's Boo, with this guy?
Man. He's a bully and a
thief.
He's a bully and a thief.
Trademarking Iceman,
yeah.
Like as if he's.
Thief. You think Matt LaFleur is going to show up in like a George Gervin jersey to the NFL, you know, owners meetings? To the pool with a Gervin jersey on. Yeah.
Dude, no, doing his interview at the table. That would be fire, right?
Yeah. Like, with like a Bulls Gervin jersey too, where it's like, hey, this is the guy that MJ credits for like taking him under his wing early in the league.
No, I think you go with Spurs Gervin if you're being respectful. I think you go that, but like with no shirt underneath.
Yeah.
Like just a straight out jersey. Jason, you're close enough with
poolside at
Matt
the Biltmore. Yeah.
Is that something you could suggest to Matt LaFleur based on the level of your relationship with him?
I could certainly suggest it. I don't think he would follow it. He's not like, that's the thing. No,
that's why we like him. He's not going to get caught up in that dumb crap, right?
Right.
Crap.
I was saying that without saying
good pop.
That. I was thinking about this because, you know, I did this, the event with Love with his cleats that he was giving away. And I was talking to some of the people there that handle his charitable arm, and he's just so like he and LaFleur are both kind of the same. Like they don't want any part of that kind of, you know, nonsense or bulletin board material or whatever you want to call it. Like I was telling them that last year, you know, after the hit by Austin Booker, like he was not going to come anywhere near the idea of suggesting it was dirty. When he was asked about the handshake thing with LaFleur, he totally punted on it. Like, you know, and while there's part of me as a reporter that wants him to lean into it because it's interesting, right? And it's something to talk
about.
Kyle
and Strophy, from your standpoint, I know you like your trolls and you like all that. Does that make you think LaFleur comes across as soft because he doesn't do that or focused on what actually he should be focused on?
The latter. I think it's focused.
Okay, Kyle, what about you?
Yeah, I'm not worried about coaches doing too much. He does just enough of kind of responding as I need.
Yeah.
Jordan Love, on the other hand, when he mentioned, yeah, we hear it, when he was talking about the Bears earlier this year and the comment that was made by Ben Johnson, and yeah, you hear it.
To
I
be
like
fair,
that.
Though, I enjoy this from Ben Johnson. I think this is fun. I think it was at the Super Bowl, he said, Packers and Bears shouldn't like each other. We shouldn't be friends. We shouldn't.
Yeah.
He did say that.
Yeah, I like
Jason.
That
I'm with Strophy on that. Like, it's great for one end to do that, but I like the way Matt LaFleur handles himself.
I think it's... Right. Both of them are being authentic to who they are. Like, this is clearly, I do agree with you, Jason. Some of it is crossed over as a little performative, but also Ben Johnson's a guy, when it doesn't relate to the Packers, who's ripping his shirt off in the middle of the
It's a little WWE wrestler-esque.
But, like,
sure.
That seems to be who he is, and he comes from that Dan Campbell line, and LaFleur seems to be authentic to who he is, and I agree. I think it's a fun undercurrent in a... in a reemerging rivalry.
Yeah, so I think we could agree Matt LaFleur will not wear a George Gervin jersey.
But it'd be awesome if he did.
What a bet.
We should mail him one.
But quickly, just to Kyle's point, like, again, like, that's Kyle understanding what Jordan Love is, because him saying, yeah, we hear it, like, that's not bulletin board material. That's not steering into the skid of the rivalry, right? It's him staying above the fray, acknowledging that he knows about it, but that's right on brand with him. So, to your point, Greg, like, I think both the coach and the quarterback in this instance are being themselves. The question, I don't know Caleb Williams well enough. Like, I'm curious to see how much more he takes a cue from Ben Johnson going forward, and does he start, you know, saying more things or doing more things that kind of follow in the Ben Johnson footsteps in his approach to the rivalry.
We will see. It's going to be a fun rivalry, and this year will be really interesting as the Bears have that tough schedule this year, and the Lions are still lurking, and my guy Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. You never know what happens when Kyler Murray's lurking there. You don't always see him. He's a little small. You don't always see him, but he's always there lurking. All right, thanks, Jason.
I had no idea he was your guy. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Yeah. Kyle.
You love Kyler.
Kyle Wallace sold all his stock in Kyler Murray.
I was a big fan of Kyler. He is tiny.
I know you
You saw that one preseason game with him where he wasn't engaged.
He was short and then he was talking to women. Kyle sold all his stock in him.
Short, talking to women, and his calves were huge, and he proceeded to not do anything during the regular season last year. He got
soft benched.
He doesn't care. He gets paid.
Stuck in that calves comment too.
They were massive. I feel like Johnny Drama from Entourage. They were
that's
massive.
Gonna be Strofe after all those calf lifts that he's doing.
They're called calf raises.
Are you saying that's a positive or a negative?
No, I'm just saying I was mesmerized by it. They were humongous. They literally if I stretch my hand out, my thumb to thumb, and I stretch my hand out, they were that big. I'm like, jeez. I see why he can run so fast.
Very descriptive way to measure his calf size.
Bro, they were massive.
I put my thumbs together.
Then it's disproportionate to his tiny body. He's like 5'10".
Do you regret not doing that?
I don't. Okay. I'm glad I didn't touch him or get close to him. Yeah. It would have been weird.
Yeah. But you're even with the situation in Minnesota, you're not trying to buy back any shares in Kyle Murray.
I kind of feel like it's gonna be
Kyle Murray?
Over.
Kyler.
He's gonna be Kyle. Over. I feel like his gonna be over.
I call him Kyler Wallace sometimes. Because he had so much stock in him.
I love Kyle, but he's not focused.
Okay.
Dude. He's gonna be really good for them.
I'm telling you, he's gonna scramble. He's not gonna throw the ball to Jefferson like
I promise
to.
You.
Brooke Lopez is in town. We will get back into a little of the Bucks conversation when we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
More Sunday Karma coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.